Hello again there, folks. So I just wanted to have a look at this article by James Dellingpole in Breitbart, because I think it says a lot about how the Conservatives in Britain became such a cooked mess, and delusional that they weren't just these sort of neoliberal shills who sold the country out and conserved absolutely nothing. And Dellingpole's—he's not bad. He's not a bad bloke at all. He's one of the better blokes writing in the English media. But I mean, I'm just not very impressed with this sort of thinking. And so he had this article out a few days ago called "Rejoice, Rejoice! Boris Johnson has drained the swamp and saved the Conservatives." And what he's referring to is what's going on with Brexit and Boris Johnson purging. All of the more liberal elements of the party, 21 of them, Amber Rudd left as well. So you've got all of these, like, they are real scumbags, and they've been driven out of the party. And so Dellingpole seems to be implying here that there's going to be this right-wing drift in the Tory party and therefore in Britain as a whole. And I'm just not buying it. And when he goes, it gets stuck into the meat of it here. He's replying to what these more liberal conservatives will say, and they say by right-wing ideologues, what they mean is people who believe in basic conservative principles, limited government, personal responsibility, free markets, lower taxes, liberty, property rights, national sovereignty, and strong defence. So here he's kind of got down core principles here. This is what they're all about. This is what the mainstream right in Britain is all about: free markets, lower taxes, liberty, property rights, and so on. And I just think it's rather facile. And what it harks back to, really a lot, is people like John Locke and the Enlightenment. Now, in our circles, John Locke, he's become a bit of a meme. Have you read Locke and all of that? But people should actually take him more seriously than they do, because he was, in many ways, the sort of the quintessential Anglo-liberal. He also sort of fathered the American Constitution. He was a very influential man, and so you can go through some of his talking points and kind of see where he was coming from. And it was very much in the mentality. I'll do a longer video on this one day, but it was very much in the mentality of the leave me alone Anglo, with small government off in the distance somewhere, and you're left alone on the shire to earn a living and not pay very much tax. This is something that we see pop up over and over throughout English history, English in particular, more than British. And the bit at the bottom here, he says, the little and almost insensible impressions on our tender infancies have very important and lasting consequences, because Locke was somebody who viewed it that absolutely essential that children get a good education, and be sent into the world that way. But then we get to the problem, which is that when Locke was writing these things, the default position of England was, and you can see it right here, is that it was absolutely dominated by Christian morality. So when Locke was thrashing out his ideas, it was within the paradigm of Christia, everybody being a Christian. So this is the where conservative thought came from. This is something different to nationalism, which is a different video. But when we look at it this way, we can see that these principles, which Dellingpole is writing about, do kind of make sense if you have some sort of moral foundation to it. And so I made this picture here, and you can see where if Christianity is the sun at the start of it, and these other ideals will sort of float around its gravity well. But they'll always be kept in check by Christianity. So, personal responsibility, limited government, low taxes, free market, liberty—they will all be okay in their own right. But there will be this moral fabric encompassing all of them. And the problem with conservatism today is that there's no longer really any Christianity in there whatsoever. And I know that a lot of people in these, the dissident right, have criticisms about Christianity, universalism, and all of the rest of it. But that's not really important here. The point is, as far as conservatism goes, it was founded on Christianity, and there was a morality to it beyond these sort of talking points. And what they've done, because of other people in the Enlightenment, mainly sort of hacking away at it, and deconstructing it and empiricism and all the rest of it, what they've ended up with is a conservatism which has no longer has any kind of moral framework. It doesn't have that core holding it together anymore. And so what you end up with is something which looks like this. And this is the problem, because Dellingpole is framing it as if to say they can finally begin to take on the cultural Marxists, and the new left, the social justice lunatics and all of the rest of it. And these talking points, are what they think is going to be able to hold the line against the march of cultural Marxism. And I just find that ridiculous. I mean, you can go through them one by one. For example, low taxes and the free market doesn't matter one bit. The people who are most the biggest backers of the new left are billionaires, so they'll be quite happy with your low taxes, thank you very much. Limited government doesn't really make much difference either, because it's primarily interested in government, in culture, and not sort of a gigantic super state which is controlling every little bit of everybody's lives. They've got all of the levers on the culture, so the culture informs the people of what they want. And this also goes back to what John Locke said about education, because now all of the institutions of education are in the hands of the cultural Marxists. So how then do you fight back against that if you don't have your own core values, your religion in this case? How are you then going to prevent them doing it? Because what is your ideology based on? And how can you complain about them indoctrinating your kids with the transgender issue? Because they're going to say, well, why not? This is what happens when you don't have anything to fall back on except some sound bites. The sort of the global homo left are just going to ask, why not? Why is it that where does your morality come from? Why do you know better? And there's nothing there. They don't really have anything to answer. They can say that it's bad for the children. But I mean, at least a nationalist could say it's degenerate, because it is bad for the people as a whole, just in purely material terms, in terms of reproducing and having children and families and all of the rest of it. A nationalist could go to that point. A conservative that no longer has Christianity at his core has got nothing, no way to argue back against that. They are so you can see that the sun, the Christianity, has been removed from conservatism, but these conservatives still act as if it's still there, or as if these principles which they have, which we used to orbit Christianity, are somehow going to be enough. But they're not. They're actually completely hollow if there's no Christianity there. The free market is again a facile argument to make for conservatism in the age of woke capital, in the age where all of the banks and all of the media and all of the major multinationals are all firmly entrenched and obsessed with gay pride flags and social justice. Liberty is another one. Now, this could go the other way. So let's just say Boris Johnson scraps all of the hate speech laws and all of these police units who are patrolling social media for hateful tweets. And there's no more of all these laws that have people terrified of saying the wrong thing, especially the hate speech laws. Okay, so if Boris Johnson scraps all of that, that's one thing. But the flip side of liberty is that it gives the license to the left, for people to walk down the street dressed as a gimp with a dildo on his head, and So then again, it's just going to be a sort of, it's just greasing the wheels of libertines in this case. And what again, the cultural Marxists, they claim to be opposing and being able to beat with these values. And so what happens to this sort of shell of a movement, of a ideology of conservatism, is it hasn't got a snowball in hell's chance of standing up against what they are actually trying to oppose. And you can see that the inversion, of course, of what the left amounts to is just this sort of nihilistic black hole, which is just going to suck them in and spit them back out. I mean, it would be interesting to do another video like this, taking a look at the left itself. That would probably have to go on just BitChute, really, because it'll trigger the alarm systems. But in terms of what the Conservatives are trying to do here, the reason why they ended up in this mess was because there's no core foundation there. There's nothing at the heart of it anymore. There's just a bunch of free market trash. And the only thing they've got which they could possibly do something with is liberty, by which we mean people having the, say, freedom of speech, which we don't have in Britain. So if they'd go on that route, that would be at least something. But all of these other talking points do nothing whatsoever to stop the march of these, what Dalrymple calls the cultural Marxists. I mean, you can see now as well, if you think of it in these terms, and nationalism has the people or race or ethnicity at the start, at the heart of it, like Christianity was with conservatism, then you can at least see that there's something a lot tougher for the left to bite on there. They may well, as Jonathan Bowden said, they break their teeth on racialism and religious fundamentalism. That's where modern liberalism can't go, and the conservatives are going up. I mean, they may as well be going to war with a feather duster. This is just not good enough, not by a damn long way. So I'll see you later, folks. Thanks for listening.